This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. Do you know you can meet and find friends on Facebook if you take it seriously? You know, not just comments and glad handing and just people laughing and that. You can find other believers. And on Facebook, I found a man a few years ago. His name is Steve Bergen, and he's from Alaska. And his comments and posts were interesting. He was a serious poster with spiritual insight that I wanted to share and understand. He wrote letters to me via email. Today he's with me. Now, after knowing Steve for a few years, I asked Steve, I says, do you have any ideas of something that could improve our program? And, well, he had a few. And one of the ones was, that organ music, I don't like it. Oh, that's bad. So I'm not going to ask him today about what he would think or what he would suggest for improving the program. Today we have part one of Steve Bergen from Alaska, his story. Here he is. Hi, Steve. We're finally together.
Oh, Jim. Very calm morning here in Alaska. I'm just sitting here by the kitchen window looking out, you know.
Okay. Here we are, and I'll create an introduction and that. And don't worry. Like I said, I won't put no organ music on your program. I was thinking about an oboe. Will you want that?
Sounds good to me.
Oh, once my soul was astray from that heavenly way, I was wretched.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Praise God. So here he is, my Christian brother, Steve Bergen.
Well, you know, it all depends on the culture you come out of, the churches you come out of, liturgical versus charismatic versus Pentecostal. I mean, you know, the organ was common when I was a kid. When I was like 8, 9 years old, my dad was the only appliance repairman in Pendleton, Oregon. So he joined the JCs and he wanted to become known. So he started taking us to a Presbyterian church. My brother and I, we were like 8, 9 years old. Church didn't mean anything to us. So we would go to the bathroom and then we'd go hide. And we used to go up and hide in the organ loft, up on top of the pipes and everything, just lay up in there and watch the congregation down below. So.
And I hope you know that I got this recorded.
That's all right. It was just church didn't have a, my brother and I had no, we weren't raised in any kind of a Christian home in a sense, because my mother came out of a Pentecostal church, but my dad and my dad came out of Catholic, but my dad and mom divorced it when I was still in diapers. And my dad had custody of us and took us out of state, took us from Spokane to Pendleton. And when that happened, she had a very limited ability to visit us, and our life was virtually completely in buried in the world. And so, like I say, church was, when I went to church as a kid, that we had no meaning whatsoever to me. And this is the craziest part. You know, they would dress us up nice, put on a bow tie, and my brother and I would use that opportunity to go in the store and shoplift on the way home. That was so bad that they actually banned us. And of course, that embarrassed my dad. And he only knew how to, you know, handle his rage and his anger by beating us. That's kind of how he grew up. So I didn't have a knowledge of, I thought all churches were the same. And I thought all Christians were the same as I grew up into an adult. And in fact, when I was 26 years old and deeply buried in dark anger, and I mean, it was, I remember at 22 years of age having a pistol on my lap, ready to kill a man, and didn't know. I mean, it was all justifiable, and I was just laying there waiting for the clock to tick because I was out on a commercial fishing boat. I remember I just heard this strong thought: you'll have to live with this the rest of your life. And when I did, I didn't understand anything about visions. I didn't understand anything about God. I didn't understand anything about the spirit realm. But I saw the future, and I thought, and I saw myself as a, you know, we were married, and I saw myself as a father with children. I thought, I have to hide this the rest of my life. And I put the gun away and went to bed. But I lived in such darkness that when I was 26 and our marriage was cratered and I was working in Pluto, and life was absolutely a disaster. I was just addicted to drugs and alcohol, and I'd been to jail at 18 and got onto drugs, and by the time I'm 26, 8 years later, I'm deep in it, and I want out, but I don't know how to get out. I want out, but I don't even know what that looks like. All my life, after coming out of jail, any Christian that ever talked to me said, "Steve, you need to ask Jesus into your heart." And I was like, "And then I'll be like you." I don't want to be like you. Because every time I met a Christian, I didn't understand I'd been born a seer. I saw two people. It's kind of what I saw. I saw a person trying to be good, but it was like they were not being who they really, really were. I just didn't get it. And so I didn't want to be that way. When they said, "Well, you need to ask Jesus into your heart," that's all I ever remembered ever being told. I just thought, that's like an alien invasion. That's how I saw it. You know, he's going to come and he's going to take over, and I'm going to have to do what he wants me to do, and I can't be who I am. And I didn't want to be a Christian. Didn't want to. But I wanted help. It was pretty amazing when I did finally get the end. I tried Eckhart Tolle and Hare Krishnas and transcendental meditation, and I talked to Mormons, I talked to Jehovah's Witnesses, but they couldn't answer my questions. But the interesting thing is that they didn't try to force Jesus on me. They didn't try to tell me, "You got to have Jesus in your heart." They just were real honest with me about, found I was attracted to them as people, if that makes sense. But it would be literally, I tried to read the Bible. I'd get high and try to read the Bible, believe it or not, King James, because I figured if I could read the Bible, I could learn about Jesus and decide if he's real or not. Then I could decide if I wanted him in my life or not on my terms. And I would say, I tried to read the Bible when I was high, and it was just gobbledygook to me. And then one day I was in my room with Riddle, I opened up the King James, and I didn't know anything about the Bible. I just opened it up, and the moment that I did, I started to read. I understood what I was reading, and I got all excited and thought, "Wow, I can understand the Bible now. I can determine that Jesus is real." And I kept reading, and it just went scrambled. I mean, my brain scrambled. And I threw the Bible over my head in frustration and laid down on my bed thinking, "Well, the only way I can get to know if Jesus is real or not is ask him to come into my heart. But I don't want him to come into my heart." So I just put my arms over my chest and I scrunched down really tight, getting ready to fight off an alien invasion. And I said, my eyes squinted and everything, and I said, "Jesus, if you're real, come into my heart." And man, I was waiting to fight. And this cloud of light formed in my room, up in the corner of my room, and a voice said, "You're not ready." I mean, I felt it. Heard it, felt it, didn't know what it meant, but I just relaxed. I just thought, yeah, you're right, I'm not ready. But at least I now know Jesus is real. I mean, that's how good he is. It was amazing. And I ended up going down the street, I mean, down the road to another room and going, you know, going party for the night. I mean, it'd be a few months later before I actually said, "Okay, I'll receive you into my life on my terms." And he said, yes.
Wow.
I didn't know he was related to Father God. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what Easter was for a year after I was born again. I didn't know anything about anything, but I knew Jesus was my friend, and I knew Jesus was real. I didn't care about being born again or eternal life. I didn't care about any of that, but he did. He did, and what a journey that has been.
Wow.
That's a journey that just sitting here.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I mean, it's amazing. It's just the friend that he is. He's just amazing. He's Lord. Oh, he's beyond comprehension of Lord. He's beyond comprehension, Lord. And then I had, I started having heart attacks in 2008. That's a whole nother journey, but I was actually knew something when that first one came. But Father, I didn't know I was having a heart attack, but Father prevented it till I was home. And then when it did hit me, it took me down. It was quite a journey. My first one, I'd raised from the dead prior to that. I'd seen a lot of miraculous. So I thought, you know, there's no way I'm going to have a heart attack. It can't be a heart attack, but it was. So in that one, it was quite a journey with Father over that whole event. Well, in 2011, I had a heart attack number two, and it closed two arteries in my heart, and I died. And I was in a clinic in Haines, and we were 12 hours out with a Coast Guard helicopter to get me to Juneau for a life jet. They had me on life, you know, monitoring me and all of that, and morphine and all. I was laying there thinking, wow, Jesus, I thought there were things you had to do because I was supposed to go to Barrow and do some ministry. And then next instant, I was in the heavenly realm. Didn't have a body, but I was there, and I was watching and looking at 60 years of my life, and I thought, wow, this is crazy. I mean, you don't have a necessarily have it, but it's like, what's going on? You know what's going on, but you don't know what's going on. And I had a clarity of life. I looked at my 60 years of life, and I immediately went to looking for sin. It was 3 days prior to that, I had gotten angry with my wife, raised my voice to her, and then I went to her and repented and told her I couldn't find that. And I thought, well, I can find pornography. I can look back in my life and find, I couldn't find that. But I didn't really even comprehend it when he showed me 6 years of my life. It was pure from conception. It was pure. He redeemed the 26 years that I didn't know him. I lived in intense darkness, hatred, murderous heart, unforgiveness, bitterness. I was, you want to know how intense it was, is when I was a year with Christ, he delivered me out of 200 to 300 demons. He saw them. I had to tell you how intense the darkness was that I lived in. And he just did a sovereign and delivered me in. So here I am now, 60 years old, looking at 6 years of my life, and I can't find it. I can't find anything that's not pure. And then he takes me to 4 years of my marriage. And we were both had had affairs. I was destroyed it. Redeemed. Incredible. And
even after having a heart attack.
Then I was at the tunnel, and I was thought, you know, this is a tunnel. People talk about it. I'll go through here. I'll be in a heavenly realm. And there was a white cloud blocking the tunnel, big white cloud. And I thought, well, they never talked about the tunnel being obstructed. And then Jesus spoke to me. I don't know if he spoke audibly, but it sounded audible. He said, Steve, it's not time. There's things yet to do. When he said that word time, I knew everything in eternity heard him. I knew everything from the moment of creation, beginning, time.
Oh, my.
The end of time, heard him. The authority there was beyond my ability to comprehend. I was instantly back in my body in the clinic, and I felt like I was bruised inside. I felt like I was hurt, like my feelings hurt. It had such an impact on me, I wasn't even thinking about what I had just experienced. I was just thinking about, I hurt. I didn't understand it. So I pondered that for 2 weeks. I just pondered it and pondered it and pondered it. Why did I come back with feeling that my emotions had been bruised? And then when I was able to really comprehend it, Father said to me, human being on earth can speak without emotion. And I realized when Jesus spoke, there was no emotion. It was pure authority. And that would go on. You know, I'd have more heart attacks and be in heaven there on with him, more of it. But it changed my life so much to realize that our oldest brother, who went on the cross for us, came as a man.
Yeah.
He's ruling for all eternity. His authority is immutable. His word is immutable. I've seen it, been on it, been in the heavenly realm, the third heart attack with him, stood on his word. Amazing. It's really affected my life. I've had five. The third one, I went back, 2014, and I was laying in the clinic again in Haines, and I was gone. And I was standing, this time in the body, and I was standing about 3 feet away from Jesus. He was standing in front of me.
Oh, my.
And he looked at me, and I was looking at him, and he said, you can come home.
Oh, my.
Now, this time, there was emotion. This was him as Jesus, the friend I knew, my older brother, my savior, the one that I was so more familiar with, you know. He said, or you can go back. Remember what I told you last time. And instantly when he says something, I'm always there. We always move from the moment we're in to the moment we were in or wherever. So I'm taken back when he spoke to me from the tunnel. He said, Steve, it's not time. This thing's yet to be. And I'm standing there with him, and I look down. When he said, you can go back. I look down, I could see my wife, and I could see family on the earth. And I said, I'll go back. As I stood there with him, I was standing, and I was looking at three steel cables that went out into the universe. And I was standing right on the apex of those cables, and he was standing on the apex of those cables. We were standing across from one another. And I could see those cables, and they were taut, tight, beyond tight. And I could actually see inside of them. I could see how they were composed of each steel fiber and each steel fiber wrapped. And I knew I was standing on the Word of God.
Oh, my.
And I knew that you could detonate an atomic bomb on those cables. They wouldn't vibrate. And I knew I was standing on the Word that he had spoken to me 2 years prior.
And steel cables. And you could see in how they were working.
Yep. That's what he. And so what's so interesting is that was in 14, you know. I knew that he was saying I could walk on his Word. Or I could come home. And I said, I'll go back. And there was a whole lot of things that went on from that in our discussions of the prior, what he'd showed me in the prior years of the 6 years of life and 40 years of marriage. There was lots that went on and more unveiling. But then, and it's so amazing because that's what I've walked on. My heart would start to act up and I'd say, no, it's not time. This thing you have to do. 2017, heart attack number 4, required me to spend, I couldn't work because I had a clot in the left side of my heart that had shut the heart down completely. It was large. And the heart had no indication of a heart failure until the side of the heart carrying all of that went down to 50% puncture. I had 30% heart function when I dropped me. And I went on another journey this time. And the doctor said, we don't know why the heart bleeds. Father said, I do.
Mm.
Anyway, in 2018, I was out here walking on the roads in prayer, and I watched those steel cables come right up out of the dirt. And I knew I was walking on the Word of God. I know it's immutable. Whatever Jesus spoke will come to pass. Nothing will alter.
Wow.
That Word holds everything together. It's an amazing place to be. An incredible privilege to have.
Yes.
The right to walk on the Word of God and live on the Word of God. And it's an amazing, it'll change your life. I tell my friends, I try to tell them things like, I remember, you know, how can I say it? It's like, other than the pain, they're really a hoot. Because I get to have these experiences. The first heart attack was life-changing. It was incredible. And I said, Dad, if that's what it takes, I'll do it again. Because the door of death, it's just a door. You go through it, you can come back. You can go through it, you can come back. Paul did it. Paul understood death. You can go through the door and come back out. Death is no sting. It's in the hands of the Father. You can open the door and you can go in and go out. Whatever he's purposing in your life. I just don't know how to explain it to people other than the experiences that I've had. And you know, I did. I went through that door a couple of times with the Jesus and came back out a couple of times with Jesus. But when you come out of those experiences, you come out with a greater understanding of who you are and who he is and, you know, the purposes of life on earth. That's really been a blessing because I've helped several people cross over, meaning that he'll connect me to people in a moment. I might be in a store and he'll tell me, I'm preparing them to cross over and want to talk to them. And I'll go talk to them and remove the fear of death, fear of dying. You're always a believer. I remember the Lord sent me to a lady that I didn't really know. I knew, but I didn't know that was in the hospital dying of basic suffocation. Her lungs were completely gone. She was on a respirator. And I went into ICU where she was, you know, fully dressed, my wife with me, and wearing all the gowns and everything, and sat down next to her, and the Lord told me, I want you to help her cross over. But I just talked to her. She couldn't talk. She was in a panic, breathing rapidly, suffocating to death. And I just laid hands on her and I said, look, and I explained to her how sick it was. And she left that night. And that's an incredible privilege to be able to give people the assurance. Hey, there's something better. It's called home. It's called home. And it's not this earth. It's not this world. And then another thing that really became evident, and Jesus spoke to me very clearly about this, is the church needs to remember that we were identified with his crucifixion. We were crucified with him and buried with him and judged with him. And then we were resurrected with him, and the same spirit that raised him from the dead raised us. And to see ourselves as a temporal resurrection body. And if we see that and understand that, we'll come to understand that we're not subject to this world, it's subject to us. I'll tell you a story. It's quite interesting here. This happens to me at different times. I've been a plumber, electrician, heating tech for many years. I retired from that because of the heart issues. I've traveled all over the state of Alaska working in that environment, and that's allowed me to go through doors no one else goes through and talk to people no one else talks to. And that was the idea behind it. That was the purpose behind it. But I went in my bathroom here one day, and I turned on the water, and it went down my sink, and then it came flowing out of my overflows. That means, you know, the overflows are, so if your sink plugs up and you're not there, it runs down. The overflow is not on the floor. And I looked at that, and I thought, oh, my sink drain's plugged, and I turned the water off. I thought, wait a minute. Water's going down the sink, coming up out of the overflows. So I turned the water back on. Sure enough, went down the sink, came up out of the overflow. So I turned it off, opened up the cabinet, went through the whole sink thing. I think as a plumber, you know, wow, no, it's not plugged. This water's going down the drain. So I turned it on a third time, and I let it run, and I said, you're trying to tell me something, aren't you, Father? He said, yes.
Oh, me.
He said, this world is, you're not subject to this world. This world is subject to you. You should be walking on water by now. That went on for 3 solid weeks. I'd go in and turn the water on to run the overflows. I'm getting this, Dad. I'm getting this. I don't know when I'm going to start walking on water. I know that it's more than just going out and walking on the lakes or rivers. There's other things to do with it, but I'm getting it. So I have these constant encounters, you might say, of him helping me know the reality of the kingdom of God on earth. The journey is just amazing. It's, you get up every day and I just simply live Psalm 68:19. Lord gave me a personal psalm years ago, 68, and then he had me study 19 and 20, verses 19 and 20, multiple translations, so I would get the full meaning. But 19 says this, the Lord, the God of our salvation, daily loads our life with benefits and bears our burdens. And the next verse says, to him belong escapes from death. And so I began to seek the Lord every day on how to recognize his daily benefits, because there's tragedy. You know, in December 2020, our home of 34 years in Haines was destroyed in a landslide. But yet, to deny that in that day, Father had daily benefits for me would be wrong. And every day, so to learn to walk through this world in its difficulties and disasters and hopelessness and despair and pain, to know that Dad's there. He's right there. I thought about the escapes from death and over the years, and because I've had several, and one day he said, no, it's not just those moments. He said, it's every breath you breathe, as the enemy would kill you in a heartbeat. That's amazing, because that's how personal Dad is. And I spent all of 2018 sitting before the Lord while I was on Coumadin blood thinners, where if I were to have an accident or cut myself, I'd bleed to death. And Father would come and rest on me for hours. And So in 2018, as I sat before the Father, and he would come literally every day and just rest his presence on me. So we would read these. We've been reading these booklets. We customized the prayers to our environment of she's fought arthritis and Father's delivered her out of arthritis over and over and over. And so we customized our prayers to the issues of life. And we were sitting there. This is 2018, and I'm in a place of seclusion with the Lord and the Father. And all of a sudden, she's reading a prayer, reading the word. I am taken into a vision. It's right there. I mean, I'm literally removed from my body watching. I see the words come out of her mouth clearly. They come out in sentence form. They turn in front of her. They come down and turn, and they go down alongside the left side of my head and go in my ear. And I could see them go into my body, go into my head. I could see these words, these sentences go into my head. And each word of the sentence separates and begins to fall down like seed. And I'm just watching her. I'm listening and watching, because everything she's reading the scriptures. And as those words come out of her mouth, I could see them in physical form, you could say, written form, printed form. And as they come across in front of her, and then they come up alongside and go in my ear, I can watch them all the way, and then they drop down inside to my belly. And all of a sudden, I hear laughter. I just hear laughter, and I'm thinking, I'm laughing. And I thought, no, I'm not laughing. There's laughter coming out of my belly. And it just continues. And then I see a head. And I see this head, top of this head, and I see it start to rotate backwards and turn. And then I see the eyes. And then I see the mouth, and laughter is just bubbling out in his Father. And he says, I have been waiting for her to believe what she's reading. It brought him the most incredible joy. And it also confirmed how close Father is in us. Oh, I've had so many experiences, Jim. I mean, there's just a privilege of the loss of our 34-year home in Haines, and we've had to be there, and it took us 9 months. We took it apart stick by stick, board by board for months until we could salvage what we could, and then we had the whole thing removed. And we're converting a garage into some living space there to give the property some usability. But in 2 years, I never grieved the loss. I never mourned the loss. I walked in the daily benefits of God and refused to let that divert my walk. I'm saying that to say this. Father told me so clearly. Any place in John 17 that Jesus prayed that has not yet become a reality in my children's life, I am interfering to bring that about. I'm obstructing things in their path that would take them away from being one with me, from being one with Jesus. I'm interfering. I'm shaking. I'm affecting them, because my love for them is beyond comprehension.
Praise God, my Christian brother, Steve Bergen.
How my heart does rejoice. Oh, since I made him my choice, from the tempest to him now, oh, I flee. Now I leave.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding K1.